WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. It's our 25th anniversary. The cupcake and the fireworks out in front should tell you so. Our friends at Curio Wellness and Far and Dot are not just hooking me up with this really sweet Baltimore shirt this week, but also sponsoring our 25th anniversary and our Stories of Glory. Top 25 stories up. We're on number 23 right now. Time will not dim the glory of your deeds in lifting our company here. We're appreciative to them. We're also doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour next Friday for my 55th birthday. It is Friday the 13th. Should be good luck for an American League Championship Series. We'll see. We'll be at Drug City. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We have some Raven scratch-offs to give away, as well as our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, and Jiffy Lube MultiCare, our newest sponsor for the Crab Cake Tour. They're just in it for the crab cakes. Appreciate Pete and all the folks over at Jiffy Lube as well. This guy has been a friend, I guess a colleague over the course of time. At one time, we rooted for the same team, which was orange and black. He ran off to Boston, got a fistful of rings. At one time, he was doing PR for the Orioles, did community outreach. A longtime friend of Eddie Murray and Cal Ripken and the late, great Brooks Robinson as well. He is now living his best life in Worcester, Massachusetts. Probably would have been hard to tell him that when he was a dentist in Owings Mills here 30 years ago, that his best life would be in Worcester, Massachusetts, running the Worcester. What are the name? Give me the
Wood Sox, the Worcester Red Sox.
I want to call him Paw Sox, but I don't want to be disrespectful to Rhode Island. How are you, Charles Steinberg, the good doctor and a longtime advocate of all things baseball and love of, specifically, no offense to Boston and all that, Baltimore baseball? You're one of the original lovers of Baltimore baseball.
I'll tell you, I'm fine, and I'm glad to talk to you. Always happy to see you and talk to you, and to be back in my hometown, even if it's virtually. I've been blessed with the most unusual career, to be in baseball 48 years, which is amazing, starting with a high school internship from Gilman at age 17. But the longest stretch I've ever had with one club was my stretch with the Orioles, the 19 years from 1976 till 1995. So there's a big piece of orange and black inside of me, and I'm thrilled for everybody in Baltimore. And to be able to have a year like this, it kind of reminded me, you know, of some of our other years, of 79, of 89. But to see people flock to the ballpark to really connect with these young players, I'm really happy for Baltimore.
Doctor, you sat in my studio when you had a fistful of rings. I mean, I guess it must have been 15 years ago. It's probably 8 or 9 or 10 in that range. You came in, sat in my studio for a couple of hours, and regaled me of how Pippen's Magic to Do became the song they walked out on the field. All the disco era of Ring My Bell and Thank God I'm a Country Boy, and the way music right. sort of set the background. This was your background, theater, music, the arts, and what became Memorial Stadium's Oriole Magic. And, you know, the song, somewhere around here, I have Harry Shriver's letter to a very, very young Nasty Nestor back in the 90s, and Oriole Magic and WFBR and Charlie Ekman. Doug DeSensei's, by the way, was supposed to be on the show literally right this minute, but was in town for Brooks's funeral. And listen, Charlie, I would have reached to you just because we have a week here waiting for game one Saturday, watching the wild card games. But Brooks's death last week, I mean, I was pulling into Elliott Chiropractic to go to my yoga class with my wife. Literally, you never forget where you are, right? And I got the WNST text from Luke Jones at the ballpark. And my wife was making a left turn on Joppa Road. And I was like, oh, my God, we lost Brooks. And I don't know what your story, but that maybe reached to you and to Rick Vaughn this week and all of you. And it would have been natural to reach to you anyway. Just this is a baseball week, despite the fact that the Ravens are in first place and they're playing the Steelers and it's Pittsburgh week. It used to be called Pittsburgh week. Now it's called wild card week. The Brooks thing, it's brought people like Doug DeSensei across the country. You're obviously running a baseball team in Worcester, but man, Brooks, like, I when Johnny died, and my God, it's been 20 some years, 22 years since Johnny died. But Brooks dying, everything stopped around my life for like about 36 hours last week, despite the clinch game and the Orioles. Brooks, I mean, you say larger than life, but like Brooks is larger than life.
There's so many references you can make. You can hear James Earl Jones say the one constant throughout the years. And instead of baseball, you would say has been Brooks Robinson. He was already playing when I was born. I think he was already playing when so many of us were born. And it's he's been not only a constant, but a constant force of good and the ultimate role model. He's the one who helps little children believe in sports heroes and find that they're right to do so. He validates your heroism. And I use present tense because I don't think of Brooks in the past tense yet. I feel his spirit. And I think that what he contributed to generations of little boys and little girls is just, it's the ultimate. It's the model. You know, I was just a fan, just a kid growing up in Mount Washington, like everybody else, wearing shirts that said number five. And, you know,
were you a junior Oriole? Tell me the truth. Were you a junior?
Oh, yeah.
Oriole? Oh, yeah, I was too. Crown Gasoline. You had, Brooks was standing there next to the gasoline. You had to put your little
you
ticket
bet.
If you wanted to sweep the bases, which I got to do one time. So, yeah.
Nice.
I mean, yeah. Frank Lucchese chased me. They were playing the Rangers, and he chased me off third base because I was little. You know, as part of the third base coach job is to scare the little kid. But I got the broom, and the broom looks just like the broom the bird has in the pictures when we sweep somebody, you know, but it had black bristles and a nice orange handle. And that was the broom in my house for a good dozen years in my house after I got that broom, junior Orioles.
Well, I think we all went through it. Yeah, I was a junior Oriole. I got my 10 bleacher tickets. That was the program at one point, along with the Geno Giant, which I'm sure I did not need, but I had anyway. I thank the Oriole advocates because the Oriole advocates were that kind of human pillar of the Orioles, just as Brooks in his own way was. But we all grew up the same way, knowing his smile, knowing his kindness, knowing his advertisements for bubbly, bubbly milk, knowing that he had a little sporting goods corner at Hamburgers at the Reston Road Plaza, where you bought your Rawlings glove. Mine helped not have the ability to catch balls, but it was no fault of the glove. You know, we're all loving Brooks and admiring him. When he would have an appearance, he was at York and Pedonia. I think the bank at that time was Calvert. You know, my mom, made sure rest in peace, took me there. I've got that ball in my office at Polar Park here in Worcester. I just showed that ball to one of our really nice AAA players, Ryan Fitzgerald, hoping he gets a call in the majors. But Ryan is the kind who always has time for people, who always signs autographs for people. He even stopped his car driving down the street, saw a kid playing by himself in the front yard, introduced himself. The kid lost his mind and invited him to a game. That's the Brooks Robinson spirit. And when you see it in other players, the irony is I sat in my office at Polar Park with our great community ball player, Ryan Fitzgerald. I showed him the ball, showed him the effect he's having on 10-year-olds as Brooks had on me. And about 3 hours later, got the news that Brooks had passed away.
So you had just touched his baseball that day. You know, for me, I was cleaning my closet out on Sunday, and I found the Crown Gasoline multi-image that was on the credit card in the early 90s. Crown was a sponsor of mine and brought Brooks by in the 90s a lot. So I have a lot of tape of Brooks and I talking. He always called me partner. I remember how nervous I was that he met me at Hooters in 1995, right after the strike. You were still working for the Orioles, May of 95. All of you were trying to sanitize the game, clean it up. Cal Ripken, the strike, the odiousness of all of that happened. And here's Brooks. Come on back to the ballpark, partner. So, but Brooks, I found the autograph, too nasty, Brooks Robinson. I remember when he signed it in 1995. But I met Brooks in 1974. When Third Base Is My Home was launched, his book, and it was at the Brooks Robinson store at the Hoshel Cone in East Point Mall up on the second floor in the sporting goods area. And I have the book to Nestor, signed Brooks, left-handed. Everything was left-handed. For you with right. Brooks, 1976, you said you were like the kid from Gilman working there, right? Were you a right. part of Thanks Brooks Day, like as an employee of the Orioles?
All right, so these lead to two cool stories. My
I knew you'd have them, Dr. Steinberg. I knew you would have them. That's why I called you.
How about this? My first day as an intern for the Baltimore Orioles was Saturday, May 8th, 1976. I started on a Saturday, not on Monday morning, because Bob Brown, my dear boss and first mentor and legendary PR director, said to me in my interview on April 12th, he said, if you can come on Saturday, May 8th, we've got a giveaway and we think we're going to sell out the house. Well, now it took a lot to sell out Memorial Stadium. And he pulls out from behind his desk this memorable orange Orioles number 5 replica jersey T-shirt.
Crown gasoline?
Crown gasoline.
Every kid in my neighborhood wore that thing for 10 years. That orange, it was rayon. It was 100% rayon.
100%. Now, how did those T-shirts get to gate W2 and E3 and W6? There had to be a crew of young folks.
And it was a group of people that Mac Barrett, our assistant PR director, a wonderful guy, assembled, and we put those boxes on hand trucks, flatbed trucks, didn't even know what those were, and we got those T-shirts to the gates, and what a thrill to contribute to that day. But that's not the end of the story. Now, a year later was Thanks Brooks Day. Remember he?
I was at September '77. Norman Rockwell. My dad got tickets out in section 16. Man, we were out way past the bullpen. We're listening to the Colts game on the radio because it was a Sunday.
And that was the birth of the O during the anthem. That
really?
Day. But Wild Bill had been doing the Orioles cheer all year long since about May or so, but on that Sunday, September 18th, 1977, during the silence of the anthem, you heard this, oh, we're like, oh my God. But anyway, on Thanks Brooks Day, I had the honor, the privilege of writing the names of Brooks's on-field guests in Sharpie on index cards and taping them to the brown folding chairs on the field. And I didn't think life could really get better. The 16 gold gloves were all there. You've seen that photo.
I knew you had something to do with that picture. Did you have something to do with that picture?
I was there for it. I know that we assembled those gloves, and then I got to drive.
I wondered how you got the dirt off the bottom of it, because the trophies are sitting in the dirt. I looked at every Brooks picture in a completely new way last week, right? Like the jumping up at the 66 World Series. And I'm going to ask you this, and this is homework for anybody in our audience. Where was Louis? I mean, I see McNally. I say, like, everybody, where's the shortstop? I want to see video to see if he ran toward a dugout or ran. Because a lot of times when the fans come, you just want to take cover, I think, if you're even in 1966.
But remember, Paul Blair made that final catch. So Louis might have been sprinting to center field.
I'm wondering,
to embrace Paul Blair. But what a moment. So But here's the pivotal moment. And look, the greatest honor of my baseball career came when Brooks asked me to be the one to speak on behalf of all the fans at his statue dedication in 2012. And I told this story because it's the kind of story that only two people knew, Brooks and me. But it's the kind of story that I think all of us want to understand to fortify our belief. Bob Brown asked me to go into the clubhouse to have Brooks sign something. It's early in the day. It's about 4 o'clock for a night game, relatively early, relative to the game. And I go into the clubhouse, and it's an empty clubhouse. The only person in there is Brooks Robinson, sitting at his locker with the chair turned around so that he's facing the empty center of the clubhouse. Brooks is in his underwear, and he has this giant cardboard box. And he's reaching into the box one at a time, taking out the fan mail that Gwen Phillips in the PR office had prepared for him. And he's signing every single letter, every single baseball card, every single baseball. There's no one there to see it. And I just felt like I had been given this this aperture into a holy sanctuary.
It's like seeing Santa Claus, right? Like literally making the gifts out, literally, right?
Making the gifts himself. That's the thing. And my words in 2012 are my words today in 2023. Do you know how validating that is to a little boy, now 17 years old, to see that your hero is who you think he is? And that the man behind the curtain was just as kind, just as friendly, just as able to put you at ease as you imagined and as you saw him be in public. That was a really cool moment. What if we had been not so blessed to have great guys in our clubhouse? What if somebody had, you know, told me names, told me to get out of there? It might have changed my love of baseball. But Brooks was always, always kind. And one time I said to him many years later, how did you say yes to every autograph? He goes, Charlie, it's a lot faster to sign than to explain why you can't.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And he just knew, I think he knew how loved he was. And I think Baltimore really distinguished itself, as it still does, by showing that love. I think Baltimore's unafraid to love people who love them, and that's not always true everywhere. Some people can go, oh, I'm not gonna, you know, I might look soft. Baltimore unabashedly loved Brooks and expressed it, and I honestly believe he felt that right up to the last minute. I'll tell you one more story of how personal it is for all of us. Everybody's got their Brooks Robinson story. Now, I was 17 when I started at the Orioles. I had already met Brooks a bunch of times. I think he knew me when I got there as that little kid who had met him all these times, getting the Brooks Robinson story signed, putting it all together.
You were a baseball kid. We all were, yeah. Right? You were a baseball kid.
Now we go to this year. I am no longer young, but for the first time in my life, I am engaged to be married. And just out of love, I sent a save the date to Brooks back in late April, early May. I sent them to a lot of people. Only one person who got a save the date, to which you don't need to RSVP, RSVP'd, and it was a phone call that, thank goodness, went to my voicemail. Hey, Charlie, it's Brooks Robinson. I got your invitation. Charlie, you're marrying a beautiful girl. I'm so happy for you, pal. I don't think I'll make it up there. I've been in and out of the hospital with a bad ticker, but I know you're going to have a lot of people from Baltimore, and I just want you to know how happy I am for you. It was a little longer than that, but that was the gist. And God willing, we're playing that at the wedding, and it will give Brooks a presence. Who does that? I had many, many friends who aren't going to be able to come to the wedding. I've lived all over the country. And yet Brooks Robinson takes the time to call and thank me for the invitation. It takes me back to Thanks Brooks Day in September of 77. That night, there was a reception for him, a party at Cross Keys, and Bob Brown allowed me to go. And there I am. I mean, I can't believe that I'm at a Brooks Robinson party. And he came up to me and I said, oh, thank you so much. He goes, no, thank you for coming. I'm like, you're thanking me for coming to a Brooks Robinson party? Well, it's the same thing, is that here's Brooks thanking me for inviting him to a wedding that he wouldn't live to see. But let me tell you, I feel his spirit profoundly. And my fiance is blessed with three wonderful children. The middle one, a 16-year-old boy, is a huge baseball fan from Massachusetts. And he has declared himself an Orioles fan all the way. And when I went over to the house the day Brooks
passed away.
Well,
see, that's easy when you're 16. We're in first place now. You know, things are going better for us than the Red Sox lately.
He did it last year. But when I went over to the house the day Brooks died, there he was wearing his orange Brooks Robinson jersey. Brooks's legacy will continue because we will continue to tell stories of the greatest heroes Baltimore's ever known and the greatest heroes baseball's ever known. And you're not going to tell those stories without talking about Brooks Robinson.
Dr. Charles Steinberg is our guest. As always, he is now spreading the love of baseball up to my wife's people up in New England. He's in Worcester, hometown of the great Phil Jackman, I might add. Mark Belanger from also up in that
Pittsfield
area as
that's
well.
Right. Yes,
so I just, you know,
right,
throwing that out. And he is running the Woo Sox up there now at Polar Park. And you can follow along, getting married this week, talking Brooks. All right. So I got to tell a couple stories to you because we're kind of old school chums as well. So this summer, the Orioles get good. My wife and I moved about a year and a half ago, and I cannot find my Oriole jersey, which was a 1992 jersey. You were running the team when I bought it. You know, first year Camden Yards was the button up polyester, orange crest on it, Aparicio 11 Mar over at Pro Am Sports sewed the letters on for me 32 years ago now, 31 years ago. And I can't find the jersey. And I'm thinking, did I get pissed enough at Angelo's to give my jersey away? I don't think I did that. So I did not give that away. And Alan Mills traded me this beautiful Oriole warm-up jacket that looks like Earl Weaver wore it with the old bird on the sleeve. In like 98, 99, they were wearing that style again. And Alan Mills traded me this jacket. So I have these two great pieces, but I can't find the jersey. But going up online and buying these Pacifica belt buckles, right, from the 70s, rock belt buckles. So I started to buy things on eBay as an old guy, which I had never bought anything on eBay in my life till a couple years ago. And I start poking in, you know, Louis Aparicio, the 58 card that I can't get in better shape. Can I buy that? Hold Houston Oilers stuff. I had a Dan Pastorini jersey I wound up picking up and a Warren Moon, wearing some old school stuff that the Ravens threw me out. I put Louis Aparicio in, doctor. And there's a 1969 beautiful gray-blue jersey. They only wore 1 year for the 100th anniversary of baseball with the 69 patch on it. And it's in the 1970 card. Such a sharp jersey, but it's been like a $400 jersey when I've been at Comiskey Park trying to buy it. And it's made of wool. Like, I wouldn't want to wear it. So I poke around and I found this Aparicio jersey. I'm like, that's good looking. It's in my price range. I clicked $58. I bought it. It's beautiful. It's like a Michelin. It's not made in China or underground. It's like nice and it fits. So I got it. But then I put Louis Aparicio Orioles jerseys in. For my 25th anniversary of the radio station on August 3rd, we did the show at Costas. And one of my dear listeners, and I have at least a dozen or two by now, it's been 30, I have a couple of listeners. Kevin Grace is an old school friend of mine, worked at the racetrack. He's an author. He writes things. He brought me a gift on my 25th anniversary. And he's like, I know you don't have this because I hear you talk on the air about how you want it. When my wife was battling, they gave away a 66 Palmer jersey with the Oriole crest 66. You know what the 66, squat little black letters like the Boog Pal, black crest on the back.
Right.
And I never got the Palmer jersey. And he gifted it to me on August 3rd. And it's too big. It looks like, I mean, I could eat crabs in it, but it looks like a nightgown. It's an extra large giveaway. And I loved it, and I'm wearing it. And I started to think, all right, I'm going to get this Aparicio White Sox jersey. It's going to be cool, Little Louie. It's awesome looking with the crest and the Chicago White Sox. How can I get an Oriole one, a 66? So I start poking around. Charlie, a jersey pops up in early August. Dude wanted $200 for it. I'm like, I'm cheapskate from Dundalk. I'm not going to do that. So the front of the jersey looked like this. And you would tell everyone, this is the Brooks Robinson. Now that you've given me the Brooks Robinson rayon story, probably the reason I love this jersey, other than Gary Renicky wore this jersey, this is the 79 Oriole Magic jersey. It was birthed in 75, 76, 77 in the disco era. And on the backside of this 79 jersey was the Aparicio name in an 11. And I'm like, Charlie, I had never seen anything like this. And I'm like, Louis didn't wear this. He wore the 66. Right. Man, and I want it. So this is available in my size. It was already made. And the dude wanted $200 because I am the guy I am. I got it for $99.99 plus tax and shipping. And I've been wearing this thing for the last 3.5 weeks as though it's like Linus. It's like my binky. I've been wearing it because, like, It's been such a tragic thing here, as you know. You sat in my studio and talked about the owner calling me a very unimportant individual, wondering, and you ring in my ears about there are no unimportant customers or fans for Brooks Robinson. Nobody was unimportant to Brooks or anybody like that. And my love of the team and my love of the 70s and Gary Renicky and Brother Lowe and you and Rick Vaughn and Bob Brown and Helen Conn, everybody that was a part of this. I got this thing now and I'm wearing it and it's just fun. Baseball can be so much fun. And the reason I did Free the Birds, Doctor, as you know, was it can't be this much fun every year. You don't win 100 every year. You don't, not even the Red Sox, not even the Yankees, but it should have been more fun than it's been over the last 30 years. And this year has been fun. This week will be fun. And I'm soaking in the fun. And you know who I'm soaking it in for? Every person like my friend Melanie from Dundalk, who's had season tickets since 84 and can barely afford them. You know what I mean? But it will mean so much. Seeing Clancy, Clancy sat down and had a beer with me about 4 months ago. And he started welling up talking about Adam Jones honoring him in 14. Clancy's been there. Clancy was dealing cotton candy and peanuts before you worked for the team.
But you know what I'm seeing, though, this year, after this valley that you've described, is people have come back. The Oriole fans are there. The die-hard Oriole fans, the Memorial Stadium Section 34s, there's an entire new generation falling in love with the Orioles, which is wonderful. But the Oriole fans have come back. And I've come down to Baltimore a couple times, and that place is more orange than it was in 69, 79, or 89. So people are wearing the orange, showing their pride, and I just couldn't be happier for Baltimore. And for Brooks to pass away in this extraordinary season depends on your spirituality. To me, I think he's taken a higher perch, and he's going to watch this team from the best seat in the house through October.
Any thoughts on young players and pitching? You've been around for this. I mean, your Red Sox era, no offense, you bought a lot of players. You know, there were some players that came through the system for sure. But this thing where you really stink, and they really stunk here, right? When it's one thing to brag about all the 1-1s you have, but those 1-1s come at a cost of a generation of fans. But then to hit on these players, I mean, Holiday's not even here yet. Kowser's barely blossomed. Westberg's making his way through. But what Rutschman and Henderson have done, what Grayson Rodriguez is doing, DL Hall, a part of this, it's amazing.
We always knew that at the Orioles, was that it was always based on scouting and player development, then judicious trades, and the occasional free agent. But we always knew that. And to see the crop of players that the Orioles are producing, what happened on Saturday? On Saturday, Norfolk won the entire AAA championship. They beat the Pacific Coast League, Oklahoma City Dodgers Club, and they're more coming. Norfolk played in Worcester this year, and I hereby invite everyone from Baltimore to come up whenever Norfolk's playing. And it is fun during the anthem when Norfolk's here. You hear the O. It is a cool thing. So, but building a farm system, we knew, and I congratulate Mike Elias, Eve Rosenbaum. Eve was our intern at the Red Sox years ago. You're doing it the way we always grew up knowing. And yes, you see Adley Rutschman and you see Gunnar Henderson. That's, you know, 1980, the talk was, wow, I wonder if Cal Ripken's really going to be as good as they say. 1981, he's at Rochester. You know, we used to have a bountiful farm system, and it goes all the way back to Paul Richards and Earl Weaver and to Cal Ripken Sr. They taught magnificently. If you ask Eddie Murray, Cal Ripken, any of the folks, ask Boog, who was the best teacher of how to play baseball? They will all tell you Cal Ripken Sr. Johnny Oates gave me a dissertation on it once. Ask Bobby Gridge. The Oriole way was real, and the player development system was the envy of all of baseball. And I sit here in Massachusetts, in Worcester, with an eye on what's going on in Norfolk and in Baltimore, and I go, there they go. They've got it. So it's good for baseball that the Orioles are good, and it's great for Baltimore. And I just love that Baltimore is responding and embracing these young players. They deserve that.
All right, listen, so if you get an extra seat for game one, two, because we're not going to play Atlanta. Something's going to happen. We're going to be in the World Series here getting game one and two here. You got a friend here. I mean, I'll go hang out there. Here's the deal. I left the stadium the other night when I thought we were going to clinch. My wife wore her Red Sox hat on Wednesday because the Red Sox could have beaten Tampa on the potential clinch miss. Happened the next night. It's fine. We're leaving the stadium. The Red Sox are getting wiped out by the Rays, and I know we can't clinch. About eighth inning, walking up Pratt Street, vendor out on Pratt Street selling shirts. I saw the shirts, and I thought, it's a good-looking shirt. I would get that shirt. And I walked on another 50 paces, and I had cash in my pocket, which is, you know, you don't use cash for much anymore, right? I had a $10 bill. The guy wanted 10 bucks. I paced 50 steps back, and I bought this shirt, and I'm gonna get you one of these when we come in for the World Series. You ready? Baltimore versus everybody, all right? It's always been that way, Charlie, right?
I'll tell you. I congratulate you. I'm gonna have to run. I got to let you go, too. But let me tell you, the eyes of baseball are on Baltimore once again, and I'm really proud of Baltimore. I'm really happy for the fans. They've waited a long time. It's the 40th anniversary of the 83 team, and we always thought it would always be that way. So I think everybody's going to savor it.
Parts to perform, hearts to warm.
You got it.
Things and things that take by storm.
Exactly.
That's it. I got a little Pippin in there. Dr. Charles.
You've got magic to do.
We got magic to do. He's got magic. He's running things up there in Worcester. He's got to run Polar Park, the Woo Sox, the history of the game from Brooks Robinson and Thanks Brooks Day to that picture being taken out of Memorial Stadium that says charge in the background. I'm Nestor. It's a great baseball week here. It's also Pittsburgh week. We're WNST. Stay with us.